Today we're going to talk about the Word of God, as you might imagine. And I want to start with a part of my testimony and connect it with the Word of God and the study of the Word of God. What? Oh, that's okay. We have two props, actually. Thanks, honey. Give a hand for Kevin, too. Go, Kevin. That's fine, right there is perfect, and the whiteboard on top of it would be. Okay, so let me start with my testimony, and then we're going to talk about a little bit about the Word and studying the Word today. And I was raised going to church. I was raised here in Corvallis. It was the 1960s. I loved my Sunday school teachers. We didn't have TV in our house, so all of the news, this is 1960s, remember, we're in the middle of the hippie generation, and all of my news that came into our house was printed, so magazines and newspapers. So I saw lots and lots of photographs of those long-haired, bearded, flowing-robed men who were having some kind of weird relationships that had to do with free love. Okay, so this is the 1960s, the hippie movement. My Sunday school teacher, there was a picture on the wall in my Sunday school rooms of a long-haired, bearded, flowing-robed man who had free love for me and wanted to have a relationship with me. And I was a little creeped out. And I was terribly afraid that my parents were going to find out that my Sunday school teachers were trying to teach me how to be a hippie. And so in my childish mind, I completely rejected Jesus. I absolutely made a decision in my childish mind that he was not for me. And it's a tragic decision. But, you know, children get confused. And I was confused. I believed a lie. And it set the course for my life for a lot of years. So fast forward, I'm in my early 30s. Well, just to back up a little bit, just to bring home the point that when I turned my back on Jesus, what I was left with was worldly influences. So worldly influences were pretty much all I had. And so those worldly influences influence us to have worldly thoughts and worldly attitudes and worldly actions and worldly words as well. And fast forward to my early 30s, I have two kids. I have a huge argument with my husband, who loved me dearly. But we did argue about what we were going to teach our kids about religion. And so I enrolled in a Bible study class. I was doing my homework. I was reading the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is the exhaustive description of the sacrifices needed to pay for sin. And I was just on an intellectual quest. I just wanted to know how to be a good parent and how to come together with my husband and agree on something that we could teach our kids. And God showed up. The Holy Spirit showed up. And in the middle of those descriptions of the sacrifices, those bloody animal sacrifices and the, you know, all that stuff, the Holy Spirit showed up and opened my mind and opened my heart to the understanding that Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. Just as those physical sacrifices to pay for sins were a foreshadowing of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. And I was saved through the Word of God. Nobody taught it to me. Nobody had me led me in the sinner's prayer. I didn't fall on my knees and repent. I just understood that Jesus is the sacrifice. And everything went from there. So having been saved through the Word, I have a great love for the Word of God. I value it. I want to understand it. I want to study it. And so today we're going to talk just about a couple of effective ways to go about studying the Word of God. So the Word of God not only can save just directly, it's given for our well-being, for our freedom, for our instruction, for correction, for our encouragement. And it's given so that we can know our Creator. We need to know who our Savior is, and that's found in the Word of God. He can be experienced through Scripture. And we study Scripture so that we can recognize that voice, God's voice, our Savior's voice. We are bombarded with all kinds of voices through the internet and through, you know, our own voices and our parents' voices that are still back there, and you know, all of these influences that we have from the world. But there is a unique voice that we can listen for when we read the Word of God. And so that's the whole goal of studying the Scripture. And the Scripture is a gift. It's that gift of love, but we do have, something is required of us. We have to actually open the gift. And to get the most out of it, we need to use it. And so I just want to go through a couple of scriptures about what God says about His Word. Deuteronomy 8:3 and Matthew 4:4. So Deuteronomy 8:3 says something. Here we go. This is about the Hebrews who are, God gives them the manna. So here's what God says about the Word. So He humbled you, the Hebrews, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the manna coming down from heaven to feed them physically is a foreshadowing of the Word that we have that feeds us spiritually. Matthew 4:4, it is written, oh, right, it's exactly the same thing. Jesus quotes that scripture. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so there is that Old Testament and New Testament message, same message, we live, our real life comes from the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, is that light, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. And that light shines just here. It doesn't shine in the middle distance. It doesn't shine in the far distance. It shines here so that we can see the next right thing. What we do now matters now, but it also matters later. And it's the later that we don't know, but God knows what the later is. So God knows what we do now and how it's going to affect later. And so that lamp shines directly for us now so that we do the next right thing, next godly thing. Luke 6:47, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. So the Word is that foundation on which everything else can be built. There, our behavior and our habits and our attitudes and our relationships and our thinking can all be built on that foundation. James 1:22-25, and it's the very end of that those verses. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So how do we look intently into the Word so that we're fed spiritually? How do we rely on the Word and make the Word our foundation? And the truth is that most of us as Christians, we stumble around and do the best we can. And that's great. You know, God speaks to us individually. We have different learning styles. But one thing is really clear from those years in my childhood and early adolescence and my early adulthood before I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus is that when I am more in the Word, what we let in, what we let into our mind, what we surround ourselves with influences us. And it influences our thoughts and our attitudes, and out of our attitudes and our thoughts come our actions and our words. And so if we spend most of our life in worldly influences, we're going to have worldly attitudes and worldly actions and worldly thinking and worldly, everything is going to be based on worldly values. But if we surround ourselves with the Scripture, and we spend time reading the Bible and listening to sermons and, you know, studying the Word, we will be influenced by that. So here's my sermon illustration. If this is our mind and our thoughts and our attitudes, and this is the Word of God, it's going to color over the course of this talk, it's going to color this so that we will, just to demonstrate that the more we absorb, more we let ourselves steep in the Word of God, the more it's going to color everything about us. So don't, you know. Didn't work exactly like it did at home. It takes time. The longer the exposure to the Word, the more it colors our thoughts and attitudes. So, and the more we do things, you know, the more we look at the Bible, the more we will have that biblical worldview that will then influence our thoughts and our attitudes and our actions and our words. So where's our tea bag? Where do we get our tea bag, our influence? Well, right here is one place. You know, we do just the worship this morning. It's all from Scripture. It's all God's Word. Just set to a tune and a melody and music. I mean, I say just because I'm not a musician. I know there's more to it than that, but it is scriptural. And so, and we hear the Word here. And then there are things that help. I call them accelerants because they do accelerate the speed with which you work, with which you learn the Word. Study Bibles are fabulous. You know, all those notes down at the bottom and the cross-referencing and all those things, those are wonderful. Bible studies, commentaries, teachers. The church signed up for Right Now Media, which is a website you can go to, which has tons and tons and tons of resources. If you have not signed up, give me your email and I will get you signed up. Podcast, radio, but you know, even without all of those things, without all the accelerants, if all we had was the Word of God, if you were stuck on a desert island and all you had was the Bible, you could feed yourself spiritually for your entire life. And still, there would be more. So I want us to explore two methods of more intensive study today. And one of them, they're memorization and listening prayer. So those are kind of, those are modern words for two old biblical concepts. So memorization is that hiding the Word in your heart, which God early on tells the Hebrews to do. Hide the Word in your heart. Hide the Word in your heart. So that's memorization. And then listening prayer is kind of a new term for meditating on the Word. There's a whole listening prayer movement, which has to do with inner healing, which we are not going to even touch today. But just that reading the Word and listening for the voice of God through the Word on the page. And I do want to just give you a caveat, an explanation to keep in mind, that the Word is spiritual food, and spiritual things are understood spiritually. And so the Holy Spirit is needed to understand the Word of God. The Word is foolishness to those who don't believe, it says in 1 Corinthians. And just as the Holy Spirit showed up for me when I wasn't looking for him, to enlighten my, you know, to help me understand the Word of God, when we accept Jesus, we accept the sacrifice, we repent of our sins, we receive the Holy Spirit. And just as we rely on our digestive system to, going back to the manna, they needed a digestive system to make use of that manna. We need our digestive system we need a spiritual digestive system, and that's the Holy Spirit. I don't want to go too far with that analogy, but you know, the Holy Spirit is that saliva as we chew on the Word. It's the stomach as we break down the Word through study, and the Holy Spirit helps us to use what's nourishing and to get rid of what is not nourishing. There is some bad teaching out there, and the Holy Spirit can tell you the difference between what's biblically sound and what is not. So we do need the Holy Spirit. So let's do some memorization. Are you guys up? Are you guys up for this? This is a challenge for everybody. But if we can hand out, this is a very short psalm. Hand out Psalm 100. And everything I know about memorization, I give complete credit to Barb Trask, who is a fabulous memorizer and gave a little lesson to us at FretNot a few months ago about memorization. And so I'm new to memorizing, and as every new convert is, I am totally on fire. So I want to share it with you. Okay, this is a very short psalm. So look at this. We're steeping ourselves in the Word. We are being colored by the Word of God. Sure. Okay. So let's read this psalm out loud and all together. What do you think? And just so you, what do we need? We're good? Okay. Oh, Mike needs the mic. Oh, perfect. Way to go, Mike. Thank you. So Psalm 119:11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. One of the not only does it help us to resist sin and resist temptation when we memorize scripture, but we're way better witnesses when we know the word. And we, you know, it just, once those words are memorized and they're hidden in your heart, they bubble up at the most opportune times. You're talking to somebody, they have a problem, and you think, oh yeah, there's that scripture. Oh yeah, there's that proverb, there's that psalm, there's that promise, there's that whatever. Because those things are in you. They come to mind at wonderful times. Okay, so let's read it all together. Ready? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Okay, so the first thing I do is look at structure. I do big picture down to small picture. So I see three lines, three lines, three lines, two lines. This is a poem, right? And then we have, this is what we are to do. These are instructions to us. This is who God is in relationship to us. This is instructions to us. This is who God is in relationship to us. So we have topics, themes. And then we have action words. We have an action word, shout, worship, come before. Enter, give thanks. Those are actions, all right? So, so shout for joy, we have a theme. Shout for joy to the Lord. Who? All the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Joy, gladness. Let's make it the whole word. Come before him with what? Joyful songs. Joy, gladness, joy. So already you've got only three instructions, and you have exactly the same word or theme that you're going for, okay? And then who is it? All the earth. Okay, so let's do this again and see if you how much you can do without looking, all right? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. So if you think of the Hebrews, so these are psalms, they were written a long time ago, even though they're applicable today, but think of the Hebrews coming to the temple. They are shouting as they're coming, shout for joy. They are so happy to get to the temple. So shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. And then they're coming to worship, and they're coming before him with their joyful songs. And then down here, they are entering his gates with thanksgiving. Okay, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And who are we thanking? We are thanking him, right? We enter his courts with praise. Who are we praising? We're praising his name. So if you can get those kinds of themes going where you can actually put it together in a way that make, I mean, this makes sense in my head. You know, if you have different learning style, it might not make as much sense. So, okay, so those, these are kind of our action lines, and this is stanzas. This is the who God is. Okay, so know that the Lord is God, and then we're going to say the same thing four times. It is he who made us, so he's our creator. We are his, so he made us, we're his. We are his people, exactly the same idea, just different words, the sheep of his pasture. So it is he who made, so big picture, it is he who made us. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. So we have the big idea, the little bit smaller idea, the his people, and then we're the sheep. So there's big to little again. And then your final stanza, which if you've been a Christian very long, you've sung this a million times. You know, this is in all kinds of songs. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. So we have the his love endures forever through all generations. So again, we have this theme going where it's forever and all generations. So you just have to get the beginnings of your words. So why don't you take 5 minutes and work with somebody and see how much of this you can memorize. Yes.
If you don't mind, I'd like to interject.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. What a coincidence. Yeah. God planned it. Yeah, Joe.
There's a song.
Yeah.
Song.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, melodies are wonderful if you can sing things. Yep. Okay, so let's take 5 minutes and work with somebody and see if you can memorize it. Joe's already got it memorized. But. Okay, who's got the first three? Who has it all already? It's really a short time. No way, right? No way. Okay, who's got the first three lines? Go ahead. Very good. Okay. Okay, who's got one and two? The first six lines. Yeah, you can peek. You can peek. Go ahead. It's a short time, isn't it? It takes a little bit of tenacity. So one of the things to do is to get a card and write the scripture that you're memorizing on the card and have it with you all the time. So you're at a stoplight. I mean, not that I'm advocating bad driving, but maybe that's not the best place. But you know, grocery store line, waiting for an appointment, whatever. Yeah, in the bathroom. Yeah, exactly, in the bathroom. Right, all the times you normally look at your phone, look at a scripture instead, you know? As I heard so many of you doing, you start with the first few lines, you do the next few lines, then you go back to the beginning and start again and add those in. That's exactly a really good way to do it. This is a new thing for me, and I'm finding it's so useful. So now I'm going to, encourage you to make it a new thing for you too. So it's well done. Very fun. All right. So the other thing, so that is hiding the word in your heart. And the other method is meditating on the word of God. So, and all that is, I chose a psalm again just because that poetry speaks to so many people. Psalm 34 is the one I chose. And here's, the method is really simple, and I'm going to hand these out also, is just to read through the passage once slowly, and then to read it again and to kind of underline or highlight words and phrases that kind of jump out to you, and then to jot down any words or any images or any other scriptures that come to mind, any experiences that you've had that just jump to mind. And don't filter any of that stuff. Just write it down, because we do the filtering at the end. And it may be that God wants to bring to mind something that you don't connect with the word, you don't connect with the scripture, but God wants to make a godly connection for you. And so it's very simple. It's we're a culture that's not very comfortable with silence, but we're going to have some quiet as we look at this. And just take a few minutes to, Jerry, you're stuck out here in front. You always get left. There we go. So again, just read. We're going to read through it once. Should we read it out loud? It's really long. It's Psalm 34. We only have 15 minutes left. No, I think I'm going to let you guys read it on your own, and just jot down things that come up. But you need more? You might need to share. I think I only made 24 or 25 copies. Okay, so you're jotting down anything that comes to mind as you are reading the scriptures. So you might, for example, I don't want to give you any examples because I don't want to, words, images, and other scriptures that come to mind, right? So I'm just going to pray. And as you, if you're doing this at home by yourself, you also want to pray these prayers, okay? Which is to Lord God, we want to still ourselves and be open to your voice. We ask Jesus that you would silence the voice of the enemy and protect us from voices that are not yours. And we ask, Lord, that you would reveal yourself through your word. Amen. Amen. And that is the entire point of meditating on scripture, is to know who God is. This is our God. This is our wonderful, Savior, Abba, Father, who wants to have that relationship with us. And it's only when we really look at the word that we really understand that. Kent?
Well, I've got a pretty twisted mind.
That's okay. Twist on. Let's hear it. Yeah, that's not twisted. That's
analogy,
the truth. That is the truth.
Along with your little picture here, it colors the way we go through this.
It does. It absolutely does. Yeah. Yeah. Johnny? Yeah, there are a number of lines in here that are about the influence we have on others. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good. To you. Exactly. Good. Nice. Isn't that great? God has spoken to each one of us individually. And it, Mike, did you have something? Okay. Good. So before we, I want you to write on your scripture, I want you to write number 4. And I want you to write these words. You ready? We'll get with it, Alan. Okay. Yeah, it takes you a while. I know. You're all wrapped up because it is 2 minutes after. Okay, test your impressions with God's word, God's character, and the body of Christ. Test your impressions with God's word, God's character, and the body of Christ. So that's instruction number 4 when you're meditating on the word. Test your impressions with God's word, God's character, and the body of Christ. We want to be discerning. We don't want to be gullible. And as we know from Scripture, even Satan knows Scripture. And so we don't want his voice. We want to hear God's voice, not any other voices, not even our own voice. We want to hear God's voice. Yes. Yeah, and there's where you can go to the Word of God and look up in the concordance all the scriptures that talk about fear, and God will speak to you, and he'll tell you what the fear of the Lord is as opposed to your fears of manly, things that are in the world. I'm afraid I won't be provided for. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid of this and that and the other thing, and fear of the Lord, which is a different thing. Yeah, excellent. Hey, thank you for indulging me in doing this with me. I'm excited about the Word of God, so I encourage you to be excited as well. Yeah, exactly. There we go. So, Lord, I just want to pray over our meal to downstairs. I pray that you would bless the food to our bodies and bless us to your service, and that we will enjoy fellowship with one another and with you as well. In Jesus' name.